Hey friends, I'm Naomi, and I'm glad to have you here listening to A Creative Purpose. This space is here to encourage and support creatives bring their ideas to life. I believe we each have our own brilliance to share with the world, and when we lean into that, we have opportunities to live an adventurous life. I have some great conversations with other creatives where they share their journey and the lessons learned along the way. I'll also share my story and what I've learned and am learning on this beautiful, sometimes difficult road to living a life I love. Welcome back, friends, to another episode of A Creative Purpose with Naomi. Today, I have Michelle with me, and I'm excited to have you join in on the conversation because I know she has a lot to share with us. So welcome, Michelle.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Naomi. Thank you for having me on the show today. I really appreciate that.
Good to have you.
Yeah. As you said, my name is Michelle Steiner, and I live in the United States. We have two cats, and I live there with my husband, our two cats, Jack and Sparrow. And I work as a teacher's aide at a school. And I also have a learning disability that affects how I handle math. I'm just not that great with numbers and my visual perception and that sort of thing.
So is this something that you knew kind of all along, or how did that look like as you're growing up in the education system? Did they have supports for you?
Yes. Whenever I was in kindergarten, my teacher noticed that I wasn't developing typically. My previous preschool teacher thought that something was going on, but I was my parents' first child and they didn't have a whole lot to base it on. So they sent me to school, and I was struggling with counting, and I was struggling with writing my name and tying my shoes, just all those little skills that I just really struggled with. And they called in and arranged to get me tested for having a learning disability. And I can still remember my parents, they told me about coming to the school, and they said right away that they told my dad that I was never probably going to understand how numbers work. And this was a little bit difficult for my dad because he's great with math. But slowly they did agree along with the suggestions of the school. I had to repeat kindergarten the following year, and we had to go, and I started to receive specialty instruction. And this was all in a different school in our district too. So it was a new school and new teachers and doing some new things. And we worked on reading because I'm a good reader, but I struggle with reading comprehension. We worked on how to write my name. We attempted to work on math skills and hand coordination. That was difficult. And eventually I was placed in some classes with my regular ed peers. I can remember we started with social studies and science. Those were some of the classes I was in with them. And we even had, I had a spelling class. And what we would do with the social studies and the science is I would have accommodations from the start. So we would have extended test time. And I would also get the test read aloud to me. So those were some of the services that I began when I went to school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great that you had that support, because so many times just being a teacher myself, you know, you talk to different people that kind of fall through the cracks, or the district doesn't have the right supports for them and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So it's good to hear that you had those supports and kind of knew early on, okay, numbers aren't my thing. And so you could lean into more of what you were good at. And besides the reading comprehension, did you, like reading, writing? What did that look like?
I always loved to read. And my dad would read me stories every night before I went to bed. And that cultivated a love for reading. In fact, the teachers would always say, she reads that I read with such expression. And it reading the words came along a lot easier for me. I could read what the words were, and I understood how grammar worked and how and sentence structure. I understood that and I loved to write. In fact, I think that was the first thing that I ever wrote was a story about a dinosaur when I was young. And I remember my parents saying how good it was and thought, wow, I'm actually good at something, because I didn't think I was good at a lot of things. But the reading comprehension was difficult for me to remember what I was reading and to pick out the key information. That was another real struggle for me. And it was frustrating because I would read something and we would take a test and they would ask questions about the passage. And even if it was multiple choice, I wouldn't do very well on it. And that was really challenging. Or I would study for a test. And if, especially with reading and just being able to process the information, I wouldn't do very well on the test. And we studied at home, and it wasn't that I was really anxious, because I felt confident going in a lot of the time, and I just wouldn't do well. And I can just look back and say, yeah, I can see where not knowing, being taught, okay, this is what you look for, this is what you do, was part of the issue too.
Yeah, that would be so interesting, because maybe you're giving strategies to help support that comprehension, but even those aren't helpful.
Right. Yeah, they weren't. It just wasn't. Yeah. And then people would tell me, well, you read too fast. Well, sometimes I do have a fast reading speed. I wanted to see what was going to happen. I wanted to know. Yeah. So and most of the people that gave that advice didn't really like reading, and most didn't put a lot of the expression. So I don't know, being in a monotone voice would have helped, but some of those strategies. But eventually I was able to pick up on, like, you know, what is important, that sort of thing. And I always did a lot better, like, on project-based information. Those were always the way to show what I knew. I can remember when I was in college, I'd have classes, and that any class that did a lot of the midterm, the final, and quizzes, and only like maybe one project and a paper, that class I never really did well in. And everybody said, I don't know why you can't do well in that class. That's easy. There's hardly any work. And thinking, well, taking these tests are a lot more work than doing other things.
Right. And I think that's a good reminder, like, as somebody in education or just other things, like, there's different ways that people learn. And so we can't just be like, well, because it's easy for me, or that it would be easy for somebody else, that we all just process so differently. So, like, hearing those things and feeling frustrated, are there any strategies that you found to work through that frustration in those moments?
Some of the strategies that have helped me is studying a little bit every day was really important. I found that I would take more information in if I just looked at my notes, every day for just a little bit, just saw, have my parents quiz me on what I knew. And that prepared me better than I'm going to do an all-nighter because I forgot we had a test, or I'm just going to wait to the end to get all the work done. And just trying to cram all that information into my brain was never an effective strategy for me. Using the accommodations too that they offered me, not only in school, but in college as well, with having the extended test time, that helped. And then when I was in school, having the test read aloud to me. And another really important strategy we did was I got a note taker. That was one of the accommodations that was offered to me. And that took a little bit of the pressure off, first of all, me writing down the information. My handwriting with my hand dexterity is not that great. So if I wanted to have somebody quiz me, it could be really difficult to read that. But with the note taker, they could read what the note taker said. And it also just took off. I was still taking notes, but it was just comparing them against that. So it kind of took some of that pressure off for me to pay attention to the lesson and absorb all the information.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure all that happened over time, just like trying this trial and error.
Right.
And so were there any like bigger growth, like years where you really felt like you're getting traction with how to work on stuff.
Right. Right. During my high school years, that's when I struggled more socially, but academically, things were starting to fall into place. I had the learning support math and a resource room, but I was in regular ed classes and I was doing really well. And I made honor roll for a number of years and I was doing really great. And then came the fear of, well, what am I going to do once I'm done with school? And I did have a couple of teachers that didn't think I could do it. And they recommended vocational training. And I just didn't have anything there that interested me. So that was a little nerve-wracking. But I had a student teacher that believed in me. And she told me, you know, you can do college. And I was like, what do you mean? I thought that's only for smart people. And I have a disability. And she said, well, you know how to study. And there's people at college that have disabilities. And I got in contact with an agency called Office of Vocational Rehabilitation. And we started making a lot of progress with, well, how do we make this dream of college come true? So their recommendations, since I didn't take the SATs, was to go to a community college, because a lot of universities looked at how well you did at a community college compared to SAT scores. And we found a program at the college that interested me and had the least amount of math possible and had disability accommodations. And my disability didn't stop when I graduated high school. And I even had, and I still ran into some difficulties there too. I had a psychiatrist because I had to get reevaluated for having a disability. And he put on his report, most likely won't go beyond a community college. And I had professors that told me, you're going to have really limited job choices. And it was a real struggle when I was there initially. I mean, I didn't use a lot of the accommodations because of the stigma, but I had a caring professor that struggling in her class. And she said, why don't we at least give you extended test time? And when I took that, I didn't do well in her class, but we passed and we were able to move forward to get my degree, and I was able to my associate's degree, and I was able to move out on my own. And I worked in some centers with children, and I loved it, but I just always wanted more for myself. And then I can remember that for financial reasons, I had to move back in with my parents. And that was difficult because I'm not able to drive because of my visual perception. But I knew that I wanted to just wanted something more for myself. And I decided at that time to go back to school. And at this time, I found a place at the university, like classes that I wanted to take, a program that had the least amount of math possible once again. And I utilized, this time around though, I utilized the accommodations of the extended test time, a note taker. And I also advocated for myself to my professors. I told most of them that I had a disability, and most of them were understanding. There's always one that's not, but I did so much better. I made Dean's List that semester, and I was able to graduate with a bachelor's degree, despite what anyone told me. And I, you know, today I work at a school with kids, and I've gotten articles published, and you know, it's just that matter of finding what works.
Yeah. Definitely. And I appreciate you like pushing through that, because, and I hate that we're still doing that to people, like putting limits on them, you know, instead of be like, can we just talk about, they just need these accommodations and let's see what happens with this support, you know? And I, instead of putting limits on what we think would happen, because you've proved them wrong. Those people that wrote that stuff on their paper. And so I guess, yeah, some people can take that as a challenge that spurs them on. But I also think like some people might take that as a defeat and just kind of not move further. So that's awesome that you did that. So like what made you kind of sit and think like, I'm going to be an advocate for myself? Like, what was that driving force?
Well, I can remember I had a friend that was in one of my friends. I still am friends with her today in my writing group. And she told me, you should really write about having a disability. And when she told me this, I was like, oh no, I'm not going to, I just wanted to go away and I don't want to talk about it. And I just wanted to disappear and I'll have this happy, perfect, wonderful life. And for years, I really didn't write about it. I wrote other things and it was entertaining. It was nice. But when I finally got to writing about having a disability, I can still remember the first article I got published. And it was so healing for me because people were so accepting. And I had other people that came around and said, I struggle with that too. And that was just the most healing thing I ever did in my life. And I was able to connect with other people. And that's one of the things that I found with being vulnerable and talking to other people and sharing my story is that I'm not alone. There are other people that have disabilities or they know of other people who do as well. And that was the most healing thing that I've ever done.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think that's what we hear more and more of. It's like, we know we're not the only person, but we don't know that until we start sharing our story and start talking about it, because that right. is a connecting point. And so having those different writings published,
mm-hmm.
like, is that something that you are leaning into more and more of, more advocacy and stuff like that?
Definitely. A year ago, I started my own blog called Michelle's Mission, and that's to educate, empower, and to encourage people with and without disabilities. So I do a lot of disability articles. I'm also writing a book slowly called Chasing Butterflies, because another passion of mine is butterflies. And when I was growing up trying to chase my dreams, sometimes felt like chasing butterflies. So it was that inspiration to kind of write with that. So that is something that I definitely am out there pursuing, is trying to write and just connect with other people.
Yeah, that's awesome. Before, when we were talking, the hidden disabilities. And mm-hmm. so, like you said, talking to professors, some accepted it, some not. So there might be some judgments that people put on things that can't be seen. Oh, how do you communicate that to other people to like really express mm-hmm. and to share what that really looks like?
Right. A lot of times when people find out I have a disability, I'll say, oh, I can't drive because I have a disability. They'll look at me, or I can't do math because of my disability. And they'll look at me and they'll say, well, you don't look like you're disabled. And that's when I have to say, well, some people have disabilities you're able to see. Some people don't. But a lot of people, when they see me, they don't see that I have a disability. So they wonder, well, why can't you do it? And that's something I get a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to educate people and just trying to just be very much at peace about it and just say, well, I can't control what somebody else is going to say about me or how they're going to react, but I can be the one that stays in control and how I react to the situation. And as long as I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing to help myself, then that's all that really matters.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good thing to remember all the time. It's like, we yep. can only control ourselves, and everybody else is walking their own journey. And hopefully by you sharing and, you know, like even me sharing my story, like mm-hmm. we can bring some more of that empathy to the world and that understanding that we are all different, and different doesn't mean bad. It just means different. And that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. So
exactly.
Yeah. So what other creative pursuits do you like to spend your time in?
I like to do photography is another thing that I really love. I live in a central location, and with not being able to drive, if I can't get, sometimes I'm able to pick up on details that other people miss if I'm sitting in the passenger seat of a car, or if I'm not able to get a ride. So I also love to walk. So if I'm going on a walk, I'll be able to notice flowers or butterflies, and I can capture that picture of them. And I like to take pictures of that. And I post some of them on my blog, and I've had note cards and journals made with that too. But so photography is a really another outlet for me that I like to do.
That's awesome. What do you do with your photos? Do you exhibit them? Do you just keep them for yourself? What?
I've had some of them at local art shows. I like to sometimes enter them into their contests. And I sent one away that I shortlisted in fifth place on a contest, and they made it into this picture of a butterfly into a journal. So that I had that. And yeah.
That's awesome. That's good. And I like that you are observant. I mean, I love walking too, and going at the slower pace, you do get to take in a lot more than always being in a rush in your car or somewhere right. else. So you do take in a lot more of the detail and stuff. And by doing that, what has that done for you in other areas of your life?
It's helped me to kind of observe maybe other things that people might miss, just other areas, like being able to sometimes like just being able to pick up on those details. Like I'll have people sometimes they'll say, when you take a picture of a flower, you get these details that I wouldn't see otherwise. And mm-hmm. I think sometimes the disability has caused me to do that, is to be observant, is to look, it's to sometimes just stop and smell the roses and just see what is going on. And that does help me at my job too. Sometimes I'm able just to see sometimes what some of the students are doing in the classroom and just kind of, you know, just sit there and be like, oh, I saw that, and just be able to have a pretty good observation of how things are. And it changes my perspective too. Sometimes just taking that other path and taking the slower way, or just taking something maybe different than somebody else had to do, just gives me a different perspective.
Yeah, that's awesome. How do you find working with students, knowing your own journey? Mm-hmm. I'm sure mm-hmm. that you bring a lot more compassion and kindness right. to other, you know, to the students that might be struggling in different ways, and just the creativity to find a way that will work for them. I right. think that's the beauty of teaching. It's, you get to be creative.
Oh, exactly. Because I know what a lot of them are going through. Mm-hmm. We sometimes have really lovely conversations. Like I can remember I had a student that he struggled more with reading, and it was just trying to, you know, deal with that, him being that he couldn't read very well in the class, and how we advocate for ourselves and how we follow through if you're the one getting the accommodation, how we respond to that. And I was able to kind of walk through that, or I get to be that encouraging voice that gets to tell them when they want to go to college, you can do college, you can do this. Or just sometimes whenever I hear someone say, well, I don't think that they can do this. And I'm like, well, we don't know if they can, or we don't know if they can do it or not, but there's something out there they can do.
Right.
And we just have to try to find that creative problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids also know, I give my disclaimer at the beginning that I can help you with just about anything except for math and a lot of, for some science, you know, I'm not really that great. And sometimes that's humility too, because the kids will be like, oh, well, why can't you do that? And sometimes I disclose, but, sometimes I don't do that, and I'll just say, well, God just didn't bless me in that area, which is true. Mm-hmm. But there's other things that I'm able to help them with. I can help them with their reading, or I can help them with their spelling words. And sometimes when I'm reading a test to a student, I just remember back to thinking, well, somebody did this for me a long time ago, and that made all the difference. And it's just coming full circle back to me. I love it.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. And I think just that message of, we all have something to offer the mm-hmm. world as far as what our gifts and talents are. And it might just look different than what we consider in quotes normal, you know, and, mm-hmm. but there's nothing normal.
No, there isn't anything that is normal. Yeah.
So, yeah. So I want to try to get that through to mm-hmm. people. Like, we all have something to share and to offer. And I think that's part of what I hope we do more of in the education system is honing in on, okay, what is the student, you know, good at, and right. helping them find a path instead of just shoving them in one direction that may not fit what they're good at or what they enjoy doing. And right. so I think that you give that possibility to them.
Exactly. Because I could go out and do a technical job and it would be harder for me. And I don't think I wouldn't have enjoyed it. So I don't know how much I would have put into doing that. So I think, yeah, having the flexibility is important.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. What kind of support systems have you had throughout the years as well? You know, you have probably your IEP team, mm-hmm. counselors. Did you do anything outside of the school system that helped you kind of navigate these roads?
Right. A lot of what has helped me outside of school has been having Office for Vocational Rehabilitation. They were great with paying for school and just having somebody that you could talk to, just kind of report back to them. That was helpful. My parents, they never gave up on me. So just having that support even now, and my husband and, you know, my friends that are wonderful and having great coworkers and just having a lot of people surrounding me that just that really make a lot of that happen and are a good source of support.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So in your advocacy work, what does that look like to advocate for yourself? Like, do you have like somebody that, you know, because there's a lot of shame with different things right. in life and, you know, like finding your voice with it, feel confident to voice what you need and advocate for sure. yourself.
Well, one of the first things with the advocacy will look different in different aspects of my life. I might use some advocacy skills. If I'm at work, I might have to tell, if it's a new supervisor, I might have to say, okay, I'm not able to do math because I have a learning disability. And I'm really lucky at the school setting of math that everybody really understands it a lot. But it's still a little scary when you get a new teacher you're going to work with. I mean, that can be hard, or just having a new situation and just being able to just be, you know, focusing a lot on what you can do is one way. Sometimes if I'm at home, some of the advocacy might be, if I'm doing like writing, it'll be connecting with somebody that has a disability, and they might ask me something, or they'll share part of their story, or they'll say, hey, I read your latest blog. I can really relate to that. So it's just different every single time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Like that confidence that comes from owning mm-hmm. like our story or just the way our body functions. Mm-hmm. What else, what other aspects of your life has that? I mean, it touches all aspects of your life. What does that feel like when you finally own, this is how I was created. This is what I can do. This is right. who I am. And this is what I have to offer other people. Like, right. what does that feel like?
For me, it was a process of accepting how it was. And it was similar to like a grieving process. I had to grieve that loss of having the quote unquote normal person, the one that was going to go to school and learn like a typical person, the one that was going to go have the job. And it was you know, grieving that loss, and then coming out on the other side to just see that it's, you know, maybe I won't be one of those things that I won't laugh at everything that happened to me, but I love the person that it has created me to be. So coming out on that other side of acceptance and just being at peace with that. I remember I was out recently with some friends and somebody said, oh yeah, you never quite got the math or something, or something. I said, yeah, I never did. And there wasn't any sadness. There wasn't any regret or any grief with that. It was just, well, this is just who I am. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the comments that used to sting that no longer sting, and you mm-hmm. just feel like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I resonate with that, you know, like grieving what you thought was, but going through that process really makes you stronger coming out the other side of it. So that's awesome.
Exactly. Yep. I agree.
Is there anything else that you'd want to share with anybody that's listening as far as what you've learned along your journey?
I would say to anybody that has a learning disability or any kind of disability, not to give up and just keep on trying to find a different way to do things.
Awesome. And then you said you have your blog, and what other ways can people connect with you?
Sure. You can find me at my blog, michellesmission.blog. And you can also find me on Instagram at Steiner7250.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story and to where you are today. So I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
I can't thank you enough for listening to these podcast episodes and supporting the work that I'm doing here. If you can think of anybody that could benefit from the conversation I just had, please go ahead and forward that to them. If you are on Apple Podcasts, a review would be much appreciated, or a follow on Spotify is how I can continue to get the word out about the work that I'm doing here. If you would like more support and encouragement throughout your week, you can find me on Instagram at A Creative Purpose. And I would also like to drop into your email box with some more insights and encouragement throughout your weeks. And you can do that at naomigeidel.com. Until next time, go serve the world as only you can.